Open your Bibles or Bible app to Matthew chapter 7. And while you're doing that, it's a privilege to, oh, wow, the lights are off back there. That scared me for a second. I didn't know what was going on. It's a privilege to be here again, as usual. I'm encouraged. I'm sad. I'm encouraged to be here. I'm sad because of what happened in Infinity Wars. Hold up, are there people here that haven't seen it?
Yes.
Then you do not know the Lord if you have not seen Infinity War. How could you not have seen the most epic Marvel movie to date? Like you, hold on, this changes the whole reason why I'm going to talk this morning. I'm not going to say anything. My heart is heavy. But I'm more concerned for this school now than I was just a minute ago. Go see Infinity War so when I come back, we can talk. I can't even use an illustration from the movie now because of you. Get behind me, Satan. Go see the movie. And I apologize. I wasn't able to make it here before. I do love this school and love the staff. For those of you who haven't seen me before or whatever you heard about me is true, unless it was bad, then it's a sinful judgment. So, but I do enjoy coming here. Every time I come, it looks a little different. It feels a little different. I'm encouraged to be here. I love Doug. I don't know, y'all call him Mr. Shy, the coach, whatever. I love this man and many others here. So I'm gonna talk about a particular verse. We're only gonna focus on one verse today, actually. And I think this verse is a really weird verse because it sounds like anyone should be able to do this, but I want us to zoom in and look at this one particular verse in Matthew 7, and then I'm gonna show you how this fits into what's said before it and what's said after it. So here's my only rule for today. I only have one rule today. I'm only here for a short period of time. I am a very busy man, but this school is important to me, so when Coach puts the bat signal up, I show up. And even though I couldn't make the last two, I'm here. So I only have a little bit of time. So here's what I ask. I don't know what everyone believes or not, but I know the attention span is really quick. You come to these chapels all the time. You're in this environment all the time. So the temptation will be, no matter who's speaking, to check out, look at your phone, joke with the person beside you, all that stuff. I get it. I did it. I was you. Understandable. Here's my request. For just this few minutes, would you just give me your undivided attention? And then after that, I promise you that AT&T, Sprint, Verizon, all of them will be functioning in 20, 25 minutes. Your Facebook account will have the same notifications. Instagram will still be working. Unless you're going to Snapchat me, let me know so I can pose real quick. All that stuff will be in existence in 25 minutes, all right? So if you could, just give me your undivided attention, because even though you're used to this and you may even be tired of coming to these things over and over and over again, the real reason is you are here by God's design, and I believe this morning he wants to bring at least one thing to your attention, and what I think he wants to bring to your attention is one particular verse in Matthew 7, which is verse 12. This is one of the wildest verses to me in all of the scripture, because it simply says this, reading from the ESV. So whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. This is a very timely word for our culture today. But first, I want to bring you into the significance of this one verse. This is a crazy verse because you can read this and think, well, non-believers can do this. People who are not Christians can do this. Just essentially treat people the way you want to be treated. Treat them in a certain way because you want to be treated a certain way. And it says, for this is the law and the prophets. So this is a pretty good standard rule. In fact, there are a bunch of proverbs and different teachings from other religious backgrounds that would kind of say the same thing. If you're not familiar with this, religion in and of itself is about morality. Most religions want people to be better people. You'll be hard-pressed to find a religion that commands you to be worse than what you already are. Like, you won't be memorizing stuff that says, if you haven't killed someone yet, do it today or you're not a believer. Or if you haven't trolled somebody today, then you don't really believe in the power. Like, that's, you won't find that. Almost all religion in and of itself has this idea that being a better moral person will please whatever that God, that deity, whatever that is. In fact, even people who don't worship religion, there are people who claim to be atheists. So you may be in this room, but for some reason, you want to still be a good person. Why do people have New Year's resolutions? Why do people want to change? Why do people want to do better at school? Why do they want to be a better friend? Why do they want to be better parents? Why do they want to be better husbands and dads? What's the point of all of that? There's something in us that says we need to be better people than who we are, and almost everyone intuitively knows that that's sort of the goal of what it means to be a human. It's to be decent, be a good person. And so this passage sits right at the end of Jesus' most famous teaching called the Sermon on the Mount, and it almost seems like it doesn't fit. It almost seems like it doesn't fit. And it's a weighty verse because listen to what Jesus is saying. He's saying, whatever you wish other people would do to you, do also to them. Whatever you wish they would do for you. So if you want people to treat you gentle and kind, then do that to them. You might have heard this said even as a kid growing up, before you were even knew what the Bible was, you might have heard, treat people the way you want to be treated. It's a standard rule. But for anyone who professes to be a Christian, it's not just a standard rule. You see, it's a good practice as a human being, but if you profess to believe in Jesus Christ, this is not just a standing rule for you, because there's something else that Jesus says in this verse that makes it different than anyone else being able to practice this. And this is the segment of the verse that Jesus highlights that makes this verse, what I said earlier, crazy. He says this, so whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them. Cool. Makes sense. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. That makes sense. And whether we do it or not, all of us want that. All of us want that. I bet you if you were being honest, if you were in the mood to be honest today, I'm not saying you're lying, I'm just saying that as a hypothetically. I'm sure you want to be honest today. But if you were in the mood to be honest today, if I said, how many of you have had your feelings hurt by someone, even in this room, in this school, in the last month? I bet you the majority of people would raise their hand. You know what that means? You feel like you weren't treated a certain way, and it hurt your feelings. Makes sense. But there's a segment of this verse that Jesus says that makes this not applicable for everyone in any religion. Because at the end of him saying that, he says these words, for this is the law and the prophets. This is what Jesus is saying. If you treat others the way you would want to be treated, you are fulfilling the whole Mosaic law and all of the moral teaching of the prophets. If you treat people the way you want to be treated, you are essentially fulfilling the Mosaic law, all of the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, and all of the laws, all of the moral laws that come into that. That sense of loving your neighbor as yourself and loving God and all of that stuff can all be summed up in, are you capable of, are you willing to treat other people the way you even want to be treated? And that's the challenge of this verse, because it's not even treat people good in and of itself. It's treat people the way you want to be treated. So here's the question. Do you expect people to treat you with dignity, with respect, Do you expect people to hear you out and give you the benefit of the doubt? But then you don't do that to them. One of the things I love that makes me laugh about trolls, I actually don't have an issue with trolls. And by that, I hope you know what I mean, social media trolls. I don't mean the old book when I was a kid, Who's That Trip Trapping Over My Bridge and the Trolls at the Bottom. I'm not talking about that, right? For those of us who are older, they're like, why is he talking about Who's That Trip Trapping Over My Bridge? I ain't talking about that troll. I'm not talking about that terrible movie from the 90s of this little troll that was like this, not even helpful. What I'm talking about is social media trolls, right? These are people who no matter what you put on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, they're going to find something cynical to say. They're going to say something sarcastic, something judgmental, something to make you feel bad, to hurt your feelings. So they do. Maybe you do this. Maybe you've been accused of trolling or you troll. Maybe you take pride in that. Maybe it's funny to you. I don't mind those kinds of people. I don't mind them. But I love to watch people push back against what they do and see how they respond to that. See, whether you believe it or not, from the coolest person in this room, I don't know how you measure cool. Sometimes cool can be measured by when we're in a chapel like this, the people who are like kind of not singing, who are like kind of just mugshot looking, sometimes those are the people who are considered cool. I don't know how you measure cool. The people who are not as into the Christian thing, who mock when people are serious about the Lord, sometimes those are the cool people in contexts like this. So I don't know how you measure cool. I don't know who's really gangster in this room. I don't know who that is. Although I think my definition of gangster would be a little bit different than most of yours. At least some of yours, that's for certain. So I don't know how you measure cool in the room, but even the coolest person in this room, wants people to treat them a certain way. Now, why is this important for the believer? Why does this fulfill the law and the prophets? When Jesus says stuff like this fulfills the law and the prophets, that's a very serious statement from him. This is God in the flesh, the Son of God, who we just said in the Apostles' Creed. When he says doing this fulfills the law and the prophets, it's supposed to be a big, huge arrow pointing at this. If you don't do anything else, you better do this. This fulfills the law and the prophets. God is saying this is significant obedience. So why is that the case? Well, look at what he says just before that particular verse. Start beginning in verse 7. Listen to what he says here. He says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, this is verse 7, knock and it will be opened to you, verse 8. For everyone who asks and receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. And then he asked the question, which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If then you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So, or therefore, whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law of the prophets. You see, this verse sits right after Jesus is saying something to people who believe. He's saying, look, you are asking, you are seeking, and you are knocking. You want God the Father to do good things for you. That's what you want. Anytime you pray and ask God for something, what are you doing? You want God to bless you in some way. You want him to do something good for you, and you're praying, one, because in most cases, he's the only one that can do the actual thing you're asking him for. So verses 7 through 11 is saying, look, you are asking, if you seek, if you knock, if you are pursuing God, you're asking him to do good things for you, and God will. He says, shoot, you guys are evil by default, and you would give good gifts to your children. I've seen Infinity War twice already. I know what you're thinking. Let me tell you why, though. Stop judging me. Apply the verse. Here's why. A few weeks ago, I knew this movie was going to be sold out. After Black Panther and the way that movie took off, I was like, man, we got to buy our tickets early. So I bought my tickets early for the IMAX theater. I got three boys, 10, 9, and 6. And we see all the movies. In fact, I'm broke because of the movie budget in my house. I'm actually going to ask them, can I get a stipend for this one because I'm broke because of the movie budget in my house? Not the Netflix budget, the movies. You take three kids to the movies, including yourself, that's $40. Then when you get everybody popcorn, that's $40. Almost $100 to enjoy a movie and eat some popcorn. And then my middle son will eat the rest of my popcorn when he's done with his, like I didn't buy him his own. But y'all not here for that. That's not helpful. But I bought tickets to see the movie for Sunday. Like, we're good, Sunday. We're going to see it. The Sunday after it comes out on Friday, we're going to see it Sunday. I didn't want to buy it too far away because I knew I would hear about it. I didn't want to be disappointed in someone telling me the stuff that happened. But then I was at a conference last week and came back, and my Friday night opened up. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to surprise my boys. I'm going to bless them. So I said, boys, I got a surprise. They were like, what is it? I said, get your shoes on. Where we going, Poppy? My wife's Latino, so my kids call me Poppy. Only some of you understand. So they said, where we going, Poppy? And I said, we're going to see Infinity War. Yeah! They jump all over the place. My youngest son, if he could backflip, he would backflip. He backflipped in his heart. It was all in spirit. He tried, but it didn't work. And I wouldn't let him because the steps are right there, and I wouldn't have been here this morning. We'd have still been in the hospital, but that's not helpful. But the thing is, he was excited. He was excited. But you know, not too far from that, I was very irritated at my kids, and I had to ask them for forgiveness for yelling at them in anger. You see, there's a part of me that's evil enough that even though I love my children, I still sin against them. That's part of the evil that's in me, but I still have a desire to bless my kids. I'm actively thinking, how can I bless my kids? In fact, my birthday is this Friday. My birthday is this Friday, and I'm thinking about letting my kids stay home. And you know what we do every year on my birthday? We usually do something that I end up paying for. I can't wait till my kids get old enough to take me out and buy for me with their own money. But that's not helpful right now. That's different. But I have a desire to bless my children, and I'm evil. What God is saying is, look, even evil people will bless their children. So I will bless you. You want good things from me, and I will give them to you. So here's what you need to do. Because you're dependent on me for good things, and you're looking to me to give you good things, which I do, then I want you to do good to one another. That's how you show God. Those are the kinds of gifts God wants. He says, I want you to do good to others. Whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them. You want me to treat you a certain way, and I will treat you that way, even though you're evil. Do good to other people. And it's so serious that this really sums up the Old Testament morality. And this is the hardest thing, one of the top three hardest things for believers to do. For believers to do. Pick your topic. I haven't been here at all this school year, but I've been here every year for the last 6 years. At some point, I'm here. There hasn't been a school year in the last 6 years that I haven't taught at least once. I bet you I could name issues right now that I don't even know about, but I bet you that are relevant in this school in particular that have already proven to cause themselves some kind of division. And you've mocked people who believe, you've been angry, you haven't treated people as they deserve. And some of these people, you don't feel like they deserve to be treated a certain way, maybe because they hurt you. And that's understandable. I get it. But what Jesus is saying here is, listen, the responsibility is on each one of us. He doesn't say, for however people treat you, treat them that way also. You see, that's the gospel of the world. That's the gospel of social media, right? However people treat you, treat them that way. And that's how most of us live. We live in a culture where people mock us, we mock them back. People tell us what they think about us, we tell them what we think about them. And we're so used to that, it's almost abnormal to think that a simple thing like, let me just treat people the way I want to be treated. The scripture doesn't say that they will treat you back that way. It just says you treat people that way. In fact, in Romans 12, 18, God on behalf of Paul says these words. So as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. God understands that not everyone's going to treat you that way, but his command is not treat people the way they treat you. It's treat people the way you want them to treat you, not the way they do treat you. And this fulfills the law and the prophets. This is the easiest, most forgotten aspect of what it means to be a believer, especially in this particular age of cynicism, mockery, arrogance. Who cares? Fine. But here's what I'd ask you to do. Think about the most recent time that you got your feelings hurt by someone else. Think about that, because everyone has. Even the cool people in the room, the disengaged, looking at their phone, talking with their neighbor people that are that cool, even those people have had their feelings hurt by someone else. Ask yourself this question. Do I treat people the way I've been hurt? And if it feels bad to me when they hurt me, how do I make sure that I don't make other people feel the way I feel? I can tell you right now, if Christians did just this one thing, consistently, not that you'll do it flawlessly, consistently, we would have a different witness in the world. The reason why this is serious from the positive side is God has given us gifts and will give us gifts if we're asking him, because he's a good God. So we need to be good to one another. But here's the other side of it. There's another passage that comes after this that says this in verses 13 and 14. So whatever you wish others would do to you, verse 12, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Verse 13, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So this passage is connecting to the goodness of God, but it's also warning you that to not do this is the easy way. Is the easy way, the way to destruction, the broad way that everyone's following. Let me give you some cultural discernment. Let me put you hip to something. Look, if I was one body part, it would be a hip, because I'm hip. Let me put you hip to something. You can take that too. Tweeter, you don't even got to give me credit for that. You can take it. Listen. This is cultural discernment. Here's one way you know what's culturally right and wrong. Let me tell you one way. If everyone is saying this is a good thing, then you know it's not. I'm not talking about oxygen, water. I'm not talking about that, right? Don't be facetious. I know how it is. I'm sure there's trolls in the room. What about water? Caught you. The Lord, the Spirit is here. And if you didn't see Infinity Wars, the Lord's judgment is upon you. Listen, if everyone in the culture is saying this is a good thing from a morality perspective, then you know it's not. Because the culture, by and large, doesn't worship God. They enter through the narrow gate, the easy gate, because it's easy to be a troll. It's easy to treat people the way they treated you. It's easy to be bitter at people. It's easy to judge people. It's easy to move away from people. It's easy to make people feel isolated in your church. It's easy to have a little clique that you hang with and don't let anybody else into that because you don't like the way they do things. It's easy to do that because the world does that. That's the broad way. But the narrow way that leads to life, only a few people find that. When the world is saying, hey, this is a good thing, this is good, you know it's not. It's not. The narrow gate, the tougher way, the biblical way, is something that we have to find. And we find it by obeying Jesus Christ. And if you can't remember all the different things that you're supposed to do, you could sum up the Christian life in this one verse. If you are treating others the way you want to be treated, not the way they're treating you, the way you want to be treated, Jesus is pleased with you. May that be characteristic of AACS. When you're in this school and when you're out of these doors. Thank you.